Artlist.io.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get arrested. Yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed. Yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Let's go. Welcome back. Of course, here at That One Studio. Got another great guest for you today. Find out what they're made of. Had some success, a little bit of success, this gentleman. I'm sure he's heard this over and over again, but he's like one of the top salespeople of all time. You know, and a lot of us have been in sales. All of us are in sales, but a lot of us have been paid to sell. And not many people have done seven figures a year consistently in sales as a salesperson, not just a business owner or not, you know, going into a business. This guy's done it. He's now helping other people do it. Got Jeremy Miner in the building. What's up, Jeremy?
You know, just chilling like a villain, you know, trying to stay out of trouble. You get in trouble over there, man?
I'm always in trouble. I'm dangerous, man.
Dangerous. I like that hat. I'm like, if I'm on the podcast, can I get the hat that says that? That's right. Actually pretty cool, man. Well,
that, and then there's a little hidden one in here, that one.
That,
so it's like
one?
FedEx. It's like the FedEx logo.
Ah, subliminal. Okay. I got to clarify something. So I didn't sell seven figures a year. I earned that per year. You know, because if the sales pros are out there listening, like, oh, he sells seven figures a year. That's nothing. You know, I think my best year, I sold about $32 million worth of products. So I got my commissions were like 10% of that. So as a salesperson,
but, yeah, there you go. I apologize.
If I was a business owner, you know, making
that's what I meant, though. That's what I meant. You know, he was the commissions. Yeah. Yeah, we're seven figures.
They gave me all the good leads, you know.
You know, here's the thing, and I want to get into this in a second. I got to start the show the right way, man. Hold on a second. So you also have a podcast, Closers or Losers, with Jeremy Miner, just to let everybody know. And also he's the founder of Seventh Level, which is a sales training organization. So I just want to make sure I get all that in there. And you also have a book as well. What's the name of the book?
The book's it's a Barnes & Noble bestseller now. I'm a Barnes & Noble guy. I like to walk in Barnes & Noble and just like sit there and read. I'm just a weirdo. I'm like a book nerd, but it's a Wall Street Journal bestseller, Barnes & Noble bestseller. It's called The New Model of Selling, Selling to an Unsellable Generation with me and Jerry Acuff. Tactical book. I didn't like when I was growing up in sales, reading books about sales. I mean, I read like 1400 of them in the last 23 years, but most of them are just like theory, like, oh, set goals, get motivated, numbers game. I'm like, yeah. Okay. I get set goals. I'm there. I need to know what to say. I need to know what to ask. I need to know how to use my body language. I need to learn tonality because that's going to affect my selling, not just setting goals. If I don't have the skill level, I can't hit my goals without the skill level. So put a lot more tactical skills. Now, are you going to like triple your sales by reading a book? Shit, I didn't do that because a book is just words, right? You're not going to your brain, like I went to college for behavioral science, right? So I'm a brain nerd. So your brain, in less than 2 days of reading any book, your brain can only retain about 19%. Within 1 week, it's a little bit less than 9%. And within about 30 days, it's a little bit under 3%. It's going to be hard to triple sales if you can't remember 3%. So you want to go, my good friend Bradley always says, is training something you did or is training something you do? Well, if you want to be top in business, if you're a business owner or CEO or a VP of sales or a chief sales officer or sales manager, or you want to be like the top salesperson in your company, your industry, training is something you do every day. Just like Steph Curry trains every day, or, you know, Michael Phelps when he was in the Olympics, like everybody that's at the top, like, you know, trains every day. That's why they're at the top. People who don't train every day, that's why they're average, unfortunately.
100%. Now let me reel you back in because you went down a damn rabbit hole instead of me this time. Yeah, by the way, I want to get to this stuff.
I'm going out to pull, like foul territory by the bus.
No. I want to get to this stuff, but usually it's me going down the rabbit hole, and I was getting a kick out of this because you did. My ops manager will kick my ass.
Okay.
If I don't ask you this question,
I don't want to get in trouble.
Here's how we do it. Here's how we do it, Jeremy. And by the way, I want to get into what you were just talking about. I got a lot of questions, but. This show is all about the ingredients that go into making the guests who they are. And I want to ask you today, what are you made of?
I'm made of like hard work and commitment coming from a cattle ranch in the middle of Missouri, digging post holes at 4 a.m. and milking cows. So I'm made of a commitment and just doing my thing, not talking about my thing or bragging about my thing, but people can see our results and they can make the judgment for themselves. So I'm all about dedication and commitment. Like that quote by, was it Steve Martin? I don't know if it's really his quote, but it's like, become so great that they can't ignore you.
Yeah.
So growing up as
amazing.
A kid in middle of Missouri, country boy, you know, I played baseball and football at a 1A school. You know, I had to become so great that, because I played college baseball, that colleges couldn't ignore me. But I had to work my ass off because I was at a tiny school competing with, you know, kids that were in 5-6A schools. So I had to become so great that they just couldn't ignore me. And that's how I went on and played college baseball. And then in sales, you know, went to school out in Utah. Didn't know anybody out there. A bunch of friends moved out there, got into sales. Everybody was experienced. I was like the low man on a totem pole, like 300 reps in that company. I was like the worst salesperson the first 3 or 4 months. And then the first year, because I started learning how to work with human behavior from my behavioral science stuff, became the number one guy. And they just couldn't ignore me. You know, they couldn't ignore me. Like, you're out selling the whole company 3-1, you know, with everybody else, you're going to get promoted. You just can't be ignored. But you got to put in the time. You got to put in the commitment to develop and learn the skills. And it doesn't matter if you got one arm, you know, your hair's purple, you got 16 earrings in your nose or your tongue, or you've got, you know, whatever it is, you outsell everybody else. I can promise you, they're not going to ignore you. You know,
100%, man. And as important as all that is and all the accomplishments that you've had, which a lot of people are striving for, and they want to know how you did it.
Yeah.
I want to know more about who Jeremy is, though, the person. Like, you know, one thing I'll tell you real quick, Jeremy, I was in the mortgage real estate space for 20 years, scaled a company out.
Yeah.
7 branches, hundreds of employees come through, and I was making millions. But the thing is that I come home and I was just out of alignment, and I was unfulfilled, and I didn't know who I was. I was identifying as a mortgage guy, right?
You weren't eating your Wheaties, or what happened?
No. I don't have a problem with that. But I was identifying as what I did versus who I am. So I want to know, really, like, peel back the layers, the accomplishments, everything that you're doing now, your mission that you're on now, and all that. But who is Jeremy the person?
If you know me, I'm a pretty I don't want to say this, but I'm more of like a bookworm. I'm really awkward. So I like, you know, I don't like going out. Like, I go out to nice dinners with friends and stuff. I'm really good friends with Tommy Mello. Do you know Tommy Mello?
No.
Oh, he's the CEO of A1 Garages. He's worth like 100 gazillion billion dollars. You know, I try to keep up with guys like that. But I try to stay in a network where everybody is way more successful than me. Because that, you know, you always hear the same. Be hanging out with the guys that are more successful. I try to do that. Like, I generally, like, a lot of my friends are 65, 75 years old. And I like being around them because they have far more wisdom, right? They've been very successful in business, sold their companies. Now, Tommy's a younger guy like me, but I like to be around typically people that are 20 or 30 years above my age because I just feel like they have more wisdom and knowledge. Like, I always say this, successful people don't learn from their mistakes. They learn from other people's mistakes so they don't make the same mistakes. And that's what I always try to do. Like, everybody's like, oh, it's good to fail and everything, blah, blah, blah. When I got into sales, I'm like, no, that would suck. I don't want to fail. Like, I don't want to fail. Like, people fail because they don't learn the right skills. That's what causes you to fail, right? Like, if I can't generate leads, I'm going to fail if I'm a business owner, right? But if I learn how to do that, or I hire the right people to do that, I'm probably not going to fail, right? And I get the whole mantra, oh, it's good to fail, blah, blah. It sells a lot. But I'm just like, well, if I can learn from other successful people the mistakes they made, so I don't make the same mistakes, I am far less likely to fail. That's just always been my motto. Like, if I'm in baseball, right, and I want to play college baseball, if I'm learning from an instructor that, let's say, played in the pros, and I just am committed and I spend hours a day on my technique and my stance, I am far less likely to fail, right? Like, I'm far more likely to be successful and have a higher batting average and fielding percentage or whatever. So, as you know, as an athlete growing up playing sports in high school and then in college, I learned, like, hey, if I'm committed, like 100% dedicated to the craft, and I learned the technique, okay, and I put the time in where all my friends are out partying the weekends, I'm actually, back in the day, watching VHS videos of my batting stance compared to professionals. And I'm doing that on Saturday night. And Sunday morning, while my friends are hungover, sleeping in till 1, I'm actually up at 5 and I'm studying the technique. I'm going to be successful. So when I was a senior in college, you know, I got married. You know, that was my first wife. We're still good friends and everything. We're divorced for a long time. But we had a kid on the way. And I'm like, I got to start making money. Right. So, you know, I missed my senior year of ball, which is fine. And I was like, how do I take my commitment and dedication into, well, I got to make money. right? So I just took the commitment and dedication I learned as a high school athlete and growing up on a farm. I grew up on a cattle ranch, about 600 acres. And we also like milked the cows and all that stuff. So I was up at 4 a.m. before school, before practice. Like sometimes I'd have practice at 6, like practice before school. So I'd get up at 4 to milk the cows, you know? Yep. So I grew up just like, you got to be dedicated. You got to be committed. My parents like instilled me in that. And I just took that and brought it into sales. And I'm, you know, as a behavioral science major in human psychology, I'm like, you know, I'm learning about the brain, how it makes decisions. And I'm like, how do I take that and wrap it into a sales process? Because if I want to be far above everybody else in sales, I can't use traditional selling techniques because I'm just going to play the numbers game, right? I'm going to be like everybody else. If I work 2 more hours a day, maybe I make more sales. I'm like, there's got to be an easier way to do this. So I started taking what I was learning from behavioral science. And I'm like, okay, I don't have the problems here. The prospect has the problems. So why am I qualifying to them? They should be qualifying to me because they have the problems. I don't have the problems, right?
Now, well, you do. You need money. Well, you do have a problem.
But my solution solves their problems.
Yeah.
So like I never looked at it as like, oh, I got to make money.
Yeah.
I always knew the money would come if I helped this prospect find problems they didn't realize they had. Because then they start viewing me not as a salesperson, but more like an expert, an authority, a trusted authority who can take them where they want. Because if your prospects view you or your company as understanding their unique, I would say unique situation the most, they will always buy from you, even if you're 10, 20% more than your competition. Do you know why? Because if they feel you understand their unique situation the most, because of that feeling, they feel like you can get them the best result. They always will. You know, like people are like, oh, you know, because my first job, door-to-door home security systems, because I was in college, right? I couldn't get anything else. Door-to-door straight commission. Did extremely well. I was the number one rep eventually in the industry in the entire United States. You're talking tens of thousands. Then I went from B2C, door-to-door, and I'm like, I want to figure out how to sell like enterprise, because I learned about enterprise and selling like $1 million deals and $10 million deals to like Fortune 500, Fortune 100.
By the way, that not to cut you off, but that's where the big commissions came from. Like you looked at multiples versus onesie twosies chipping away. You looked at multiples.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, even when I was in door-to-door, you know, security systems, I got up to about $100,000 a month, but you know, that was in 2001, 2002, 2004, $100,000 a month, 20 years ago. I don't even know what that is. $150,000 a month. Now, right. I don't even know.
Right. Probably 300.
That was door-to-door.
Based on inflation.
You knock on the door and grandma would be like, oh, you poor little boy, come in to get some water. You know, I'm like, they didn't know that, you know, James, this kid
killer
was making $100,000 a month, you know, but here I am, I'm solving her problem because now she has a security system. She's on her own. She's protected. It's monitored by the police. She's got a button. If she falls, she can push to get help. Like I'm solving problems that maybe she didn't realize she had, right? That's how I always viewed sales. It's not me against the prospect. A lot of salespeople are trained like, oh, you got to, you know, it's adversarial. Buy or die. Mm-hmm. You against the prospect, you're sold or they're sold. And I'm like, well, if you think that way, I can assure you it'll come out in your tonality. It'll come out in your body language. You'll be needy and the prospect picks up on that. We got spidey senses as human beings, right? Survival part of our brain. Oh, salesperson trying to sell me something. You know, guards up, not going to answer their questions, not interested, right? So I'm like, how do I get them to let their guard down? How do I get them to keep their guard down? How do I help them build a gap from where they are to where they want to be? Well, if I'm going to do that, I've got to learn that sales is collaborative. You working with the prospect to help them find and solve their problems. Now, I'm not saying you get to them like, well, let me know if you're interested. Call me back later. You're not going to make many sales that way either. Okay. But you've got to, I almost view selling as like you're a facilitator and you're taking this human being down this path, a path that most of them, as you know, you're coming from the mortgage industry. That's a big industry we trained as well. Most of them don't even realize they have a problem when you first start talking to them. Or maybe they realize they have a problem. They don't really understand how bad the problem is or the depth of the problem. Maybe they don't understand the consequences of what happens if they don't do anything about solving the problem, right? That's our job as a sales professional to be able to build that gap. Now, we can't tell them that. We can't tell them, hey, you got these problems, because that's just going to go in one ear out the other, right? You're biased. You're the salesperson. My question ability and how I use my tone to trigger certain emotional drivers in their brain causes them to want to open up and go below the surface rather than staying surface level with me. Okay. And that's where the sale's made. you know, I got into B2B sales, Mike, and they're like, oh, you know, you can't talk with CEOs like that. They're not going to answer your questions. You just got to show them the facts, give them the presentations. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's why you guys have a 12-month sales cycle. They're like, no, it's impossible. 12-month sales cycle. Well, you know, within about 6 months, my sales cycle was about 2 to 3 months. And I'm outselling the whole company. There's like 700 reps in that company, outselling everybody 3 to 1. Their top guy, been there 25 years. I'm outselling 3 to 1, coming from door-to-door sales. How is that possible? Well, I learned, you know, if I can get my prospects to let their guard down, because they'd always say like, oh, CEOs are not emotional. I'm like, really? Because as a behavioral scientist, I know that every decision starts with your emotional side of your brain. Mike, you did it today. I feel like interviewing Jeremy on this podcast. I feel like waking up at 5 in the morning. I feel like getting a drink of water. Every decision you make starts with your emotional side of your brain. So, And the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are not humans, which we have a problem with, right? They're making decisions with their emotions. They just justify with logic. I feel like taking this meeting. I feel like reading this book. I feel like writing something. Everything starts with feelings, emotions, right? If your brain, you ever get in a car accident and your emotional side of your brain gets damaged, you are literally a vegetable. You can't decide to go pee. There you go.
Yes. I mean, emotions are the in between thoughts and action. So it's a sandwich. And so if you have a thought and you don't have an emotion about it, you're not going to take action. So I 100% agree with you.
Every decision.
Let me ask you a question though. So you learn stuff from behavioral science.
Yeah.
You learn from stuff from experience, but like, who are your go-to people that you learned some things from that made sense? Not like the Tom Hopkins and all this, by the way, I did in-home sales for 9 years early on. I freaking hated sitting there trying to close somebody that night with a 3-hour demo that had no idea why I was there in the first place when we were first coming out, except the test water. I don't know if you're familiar with water treatment systems. When I was 20, I worked for Rainsoft, and we would go out and test water for people. Yeah. If they had hard water, we would show them a demo and sell them. But it was like, it was the old fashioned shit. And I just wasn't into it.
It's asking questions that get them to start to see they have problems they didn't realize they had, right? They probably didn't realize they had a problem, right? I can go out and do some tests and come back and do a demo, but that's all logical.
Yeah.
If I can start asking questions and start seeding doubt in their mind that maybe, just maybe, the water they're drinking is not very good for them and is potentially going to cause a lot of health issues, then they're like, holy shit, I need to solve this problem. I didn't realize.
Or if I'm tying into the wife's emotions of having to clean like the hard, crusty stuff off the faucets and the water spots and all that. Like that's where it was. That's where we were dialed into. But the old fashioned bullshit sales stuff, like I fucking hate it, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, my first ever sales seminar I went to was in the fall of 2001. Because it was after my first. So like when I got into door-to-door sales in college, you only do it for 4 months. It's like a summer door-to-door program. They're very big in Utah for home security, pest control, you know, lawn care, solar. They've got all these, you know, they'll hire college students, right? You go out and the pitch is like, hey, go out and make a bunch of money in 4 months. You don't have to work while you're going to college. It's the greatest thing ever. It's like the mecca of door-to-door sales comes from recruiting Utah, okay? So you know, I'd go out there for 4 months. And then the rest of the year, after that first year, I'm like, okay, I got to get even better at this. So I started spending a lot of money on sales training, right? Like my first seminar I went to was Brian Tracy, which I'm really good friends with now. If you've read any of his books, he's a great author. And Brian said something that stuck in my mind like forever, that changed everything. He's like, use your vehicle as a university on wheels. Everybody's heard that, right? Use your vehicle as a university on wheels. So from that day forward, I'm like, okay, I love my AC/DC. I love my, you know, my Nelly or whatever it was back in the day, but not really making me much money.
Right.
Turn that off. I love you guys. You're just not making me any money. I love, you know, some of you guys listening are like, well, but I love to listen to Fox News or CNN. I'm really into politics, or I love listening to ESPN about sports. That's great. But how much money does that make you every month? Bagels, nothing. So I'm like, okay, I have to learn. Well, I need an education. Like how many, I always ask people if I'm doing a keynote, how many years did you guys go to college for a degree? And they're like 4, 8, 12, whatever they did. I'm like, okay. And how many years did you go to college for, like, how many years did you go to sales college? Oh, zero. Because sales is the only profession where somebody walks in like, hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm in sales. But they're never educated. Because an engineer that's going into college doesn't say, I'm an engineer. They say, I'm going to college to learn how to be an engineer. because you got to learn how to build bridges. But sales, for some reason, they think they can read 3 books and get a script by the company, and now they're a professional salesperson, and they're not educated at all. So I would go through all these books like you're talking about, right? And I love some of the stuff. Some of it still works. A lot of it is a little bit old school, triggers a lot of sales resistance. Coming from the way the brain works, I have an advantage over some people understanding this. But I'm like, okay, every book says 93% of your sale is done by your nonverbal communication. You know, 55% body language, 38% your tone. Okay, but I'm like, nobody's teaching how to use the tonality. Nobody's showing me how to use my body language. It's just a bunch of theory. I freaking hated that. And I've been through, you know, in 23 years, I've read, so we're talking 5 books a month times 12 months a year. And I listen. Yeah. So it's like 1,300 some books on sales, persuasion, influence. Now, everyone's like, how do you read 5 books a month? I don't. I typically read 2. I listen to 3 while I'm driving around the car. Mm-hmm. And I went through 400, I had to count up 400 some sales training programs. But where I learned the most that really set me apart from everybody else is not in any of those sales training programs. It was outside of sales. So when I heard about the tonality and body language, I'm like, nobody's teaching this. I went through all these courses, went to seminars. Nobody really teaches it. They just say it, but none of them know how to do it. So I'm like, who knows tonality? Who knows body language? And I got connected with a very famous acting coach that trained some of the biggest Hollywood names like Tom Cruise, you know, Julia Roberts, just a bunch of big names. Now that person, it's a lot of money to hire them to teach you those skills, because actors and actresses, when you watch them, are the best salespeople on the planet. Let me, I'll explain to everybody why. Who's your favorite actor or actress? Let me just ask you.
Jeremy Renner is my favorite actor.
He's really good, right? Now, every movie you watch of him, pretty much everything he says is what? 100% scripted. Does it sound scripted to you? Not at all. Doesn't sound scripted at all, because if it did, you'd turn it off. You couldn't stay engaged. Now, the reason why it doesn't sound scripted is because he memorizes his lines, but he doesn't memorize them like he sounds like a telemarketer just reading the lines, right? He memorizes it, but what he's been taught is facial expressions. He's been taught advanced tonality. He's been taught advanced body language. That causes you to stay engaged. I always say your facial expressions, your face is the remote control to your tone. Like, I can't have a confused tone without my facial expression showing I'm confused, right? I can't have a concerned tone without my facial expression showing that. Try to have
be out of alignment. Yeah.
Try to have a confused tone and your face doesn't move. It's impossible. Your voice would sound monotone. So what happens is they've learned how to use, I'm not kidding you, because this is one of the first things they teach you. I'm not talking about hiring, you know, Karen down the street that charges $20 an hour that wanted to be an actress. No offense, Karen. We love you, Karen. But you know what I mean? I'm talking about, you know, that person I paid 120 grand to, like literally 120 grand to teach me advanced tonality. It's made me millions. Okay. And so what I would do, and I learned how to use my facial expressions, because what actors and actresses are taught, one of the first things is how to use their facial expressions, I kid you not, to trigger different emotional drivers in your brain to keep their audiences engaged the whole movie. And the better ones that are taught more and rehearse it, that's why they make $10, $20 million a film. That's why you can't turn it off. Okay. But what is going on? But what happened then? It's like almost like improv, like their tonality can shift at any point and it keeps you engaged. Because if they just,
and it doesn't seem like they're acting, it doesn't seem fake. So I have a question on this though. Authenticity. How much do you talk about authenticity in sales to people that you train? Like truly being like their personality and staying in that and not trying to be somebody that they're not.
Yeah, that is true to a point. But let's say if I'm a genuinely bubbly, really excited person, we have to train salespeople like that to slow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because if you're too bubbly and too excited, I hate to tell you, people are going to resist that. It's like fight or flight mode. It's like the enthusiastic car salesperson. And we train a lot of car dealerships that crush it. But it's like you come up like, hey, how's it going? I'm so excited you came in today. You're like, just looking. You know, like you're looking for a car. Like, hey, how can I help you? Welcome to leadership. Just looking. Right? It's like a knee-jerk. You know, what happens, it's your survival part of your brain. Some people call it the reptilian part of your brain. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you're walking into a grocery store. Okay? You hear a lady yell like, whoa! And your first reaction is you're like, you react because it goes into your survival part of the brain. You don't even hear the words she said. You hear her tone. Mm-hmm. Her tonality triggers fight or flight mode in your brain where you're like, is everything okay? But you're instantly, you didn't even hear what she said. Now, what happens in about a second or two is that then goes to what we call the midbrain. The midbrain starts to decipher the words that she said. Then instantly goes into your neocortex, which is your problem-solving part of your brain. And it says, oh, she was just yelling at her son to look both ways before he crosses the street. It's not a big deal. But you didn't hear the words or decipher the words for a few seconds. You heard the tone. So like if you're cold calling and you're excited, that prospect hears your tone first. They don't even know what you're saying. You could be like, you just won $10 billion from the lottery sweepstakes. We just need to know your address to mail you the check. And they're going to say, not interested. They didn't mm-hmm. hear your words. They heard your tonality. Mm-hmm. So if I can have a lower tone, yeah, is this John? John, it's Jeremy. Jeremy Miners. I wonder if you could possibly help me out for a moment. Sure. What's going on? How can I help you? Well, and I'm not even sure if you're the right person I should be talking to, but I called to see who would be, I guess, responsible in your department for looking at any, like, I don't know, like possible issues, like hidden gaps in your blank that could be causing the firm to overspend. Who should I be talking to about that? See, slowing down, verbal pacing, rather than pitchy, excited voice, I'm going to get most of my prospects to engage back. Rather than, oh, not interested. Oh, we already have somebody for that. And that's just a reaction, not from the prospect, but from the salesperson's tonality that triggered that in their brain.
Not to mention most salespeople, when they get that reaction, they it throws them off and they're controlled by that.
If you can just give me 2 minutes of your time, I promise it'll be worth it.
See
that you're like qualifying to them, but they're the ones that have the problems, not you. So you got to learn how to get the prospect to qualify you. Now, I don't mean like be a douche, like, well, if it's we decide this is a good fit for us as a company, we'll show you to get started. Like, nobody believes that bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, don't say techniques like that because you lose trust automatically. Even they're like, yeah, yeah, sure, okay. Instantly, they're like, who's this? Like, I'm not an idiot. If I give you my credit card and say I'm ready to buy, nope, sorry, you're not a good fit for us. Like, nobody believes that, you know? You're just losing trust. You lose trust. There's no sale.
Look, I don't want to give all of your stuff away, Jeremy. So let's make sure that people know where to go. I'm not ending yet. I got a couple more questions for you, but I want to make sure everybody knows where to go to get more from the sales training and what have you. So where's the best link for them to go to?
Well, I'll tell you this. There's a couple of different options they can have because I was thinking about this before. Where should we send them? Because I want to give them some nibbles. I always give people some, you know, you don't need to buy anything from us right now. We'll give you some nibbles. You can see if, hey, seventh level, I think they could help me sell more because we train 100, there's 163 industries on the planet. Do you know that? I thought there was like thousands. I looked it up, 163 industries, according to Forbes. Yeah. Now there's subsets of each industry, like home improvement. That's the fifth largest industry we train. There's like 50 different industries within home improvement. You got doors, windows,
subcategories.
Everything. There's subcategories. So there's a couple options. We can either invite them to join one of our free Facebook groups called Sales Revolution. So they can go to salesrevolution.pro. We go live in that. There's like 115, 120,000 salespeople in there, small business owners. And we'll go live in there two or three times a week with different Q&As, different trainings. So they're welcome to join that. Go to salesrevolution.pro. Or we'd have a number now that they can text us. We'll actually text them back a free copy of, what the hell is that thing called? It's called the NEPQ Black Book of Questions.
There you go.
Manual with different questions. So if I can find the number here for a second, I'll let them, if you want them to text, then get a free book. We don't do anything. We just like send it to them on the phone.
Yeah. Listen, I want you to support people. So if they get something and you do try to get them in to help, find that number while I ask you these other questions. Cause we'll get that
for you real quick. We'll
get that number in a second, but quick question for you. Jeremy himself, and this is something I love to do because I like to make sure that people relate to us, right? The successes that we've had and all that, they need to understand that we're human beings too. What are some insecurities that you are currently working on in your own personal development journey or getting better? Because we're all lifetime learners, us guys that are high performers. What are some things you're focused on right now that you're working on, whether it's business, personal, whatever?
Okay, I'll tell you what. It's right in front of my mind. I just had my good buddy Dan Martell. You know,
I love Dan. Yeah.
You know Dan.
Yeah.
Just had dinner with him in Palm Beach. He was speaking for Tony Robbins about 3 weeks ago. I had a keynote for a big mortgage company. I'm Palm Beach, did mortgages, right? And so we met up for dinner the night before he spoke for Tony. And I got this book and I'm like, you know what? I need to learn how to, like, when work's over, work's over. Because that's one thing I've always struggled with is, like, I think about work all the time. Now, that's probably helped me become somewhat successful, some people would say, because I'm, like, focused on it. But in the same sense, sometimes you need to sit back and breathe. Sometimes you just need to sit on the couch and, you know, have some milk and cookies and watch Ancient Aliens on a Friday night, you know, not worry about work. Yeah. So Dan gave me this book. I started reading. I'm like, man, this is good stuff. So this is what I'm focused on in 2025. You know, I'm the founder of
2024. You're not going to wait until next year.
2020. Yeah. I don't even know what year. 2024.
You know, shit, man, I'm going to make sure you start right now.
coming back to the future here. So
I got you.
I'm going to buy one of his courses here. I'm going to have him coach me. I'm a big believer in, like, successful people don't learn from their mistakes, because that's painful. It can take you a long time. It could take you decades to learn from your own mistakes, because you don't know what you don't know. You learn from other people's mistakes, so you don't make the same mistakes. Now, Dan, he'll tell you, 100%. Like, man, when I was first in, you know, his companies, when he sold me, he's like, I was working 24 hours a day. So I'm going to learn from Dan, from his mistakes, so I don't make necessarily the same mistakes. So Dan's a legend. So that's really what I'm focused on in 2020.
Well, Jeremy, I got to tell you, you're going to find when you go through this, that more is not always the answer, like more thinking of it, more focus on it. It's not always the answer. It's the resonance. Like, you got to resonate. I study quantum physics and quantum resonance. Yeah. You resonate with the results. And when you do this, you'll see, because I love Dan. I've read the book. I've implemented it in my businesses. You're going to actually be able to do more. So it's relief.
Okay, so I'm going to give you this number before I forget it.
All right, let's fire away. Guys, take this number and text this number. And you'll get a free
I'm going to put it in the chat. AI should send you the book. It's 602-962-4271. So 602, that's a Phoenix, Arizona number, 602-962-4271. I put it in the chat. So if anyone wants we'll give this to him for free, the Black Book of Questions. So they'll just, you know what? I think you got to type in this word though. So
yeah, what do they text to it? Yeah, usually there's a word that you text to it.
Matrix. I don't know why. Matrix.
All right, text the word matrix to that number. And that number 602-962-4271. My guy Jeremy Miner will give you this book of questions. If you don't get it and take it, you're probably an idiot. You don't want to be better, but I'll say it. You don't have to say it. But anyway, guys, and also go check out Jeremy's podcast, Closers Are Losers. I'm gonna check it out and we're gonna talk more about that podcast, brother. Because I got a question for you.
No, I like it. You know, we started doing it about 2 years ago. We're getting close to 400,000 downloads a month now. And we haven't done much with it. You know, we just kind of did it. And now we're like, well, maybe we should get like a podcast studio or something. We got all these companies, reach out sponsorships. We're still doing it from the computer here in the office.
I'll tell you something, how to monetize it. I'll tell you for free. You something I learned. So anyway, Jeremy, thanks for being here, brother. Hang tight while I close this down.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here. It's your boy C-Rock in That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Until next time, be that one.
Music licensing reimagined.